And now, back to the Grillin' Guys Show.
With the Grillin' Guys coming at you like a pit bull. We smoke butt, and it's a mittful.
Welcome back, Yardless, the Grillin' Guys. Grillin' Guys Talk Network. Hey, Bob's in rut, and his neck's all swelled up, and we're going to talk about some deer hunting equipment with our friend Merle Shoemaker from Allen Bob Sports. Take it away, Bob.
I've been learning how to buck wheeze. Have you ever done that?
I have.
Yeah, I just learned that. I never ever tried it before.
Yeah, it works really good when you got in an area where you got a lot of dominant bucks.
Yeah.
Yeah, that can really get them going.
Well, sometimes you don't know that you've got them.
Yeah.
Have you got it perfected yet, Bob, or are you still working
on
it?
I'm going to find out.
Why don't you give us a little bit of that buck wheeze right now?
No, that's okay, Jop.
Oh, man.
I'd rather put coffee in your chili.
Right. Well, we don't want our listeners to have a deer jump out in front of them because they're driving down the road and they got a barbecue Bob buck wheeze going out the window.
We have another lawsuit.
That's worse than the cat, man. Oh, God.
But anyway, Merle, please tell us last-minute hunting supplies that you have.
Well, you got to have your snort wheeze call. I don't snort wheeze very much, but just a grunt call I do use from time to time. I don't overdo it or anything because deer can really get wary of it if you're using them in the same spot all the time.
Yeah. I do my own wheeze that I think sounds better than the plastic ones.
Yeah.
But nothing sound because when a doe's doing it, they're actually inhaling, right?
Right.
It's a sound that is magical. They're doing it in front of my house every night now, out in the woods. I stop everything and I walk over to the window and I listen. It's like, who's bothering them?
Yeah. Right.
Yep. And there's so many leaves up you can't see.
Right.
That drives me nuts.
Yeah. So Merle, let's talk about calls because that's kind of where we're going here. Are there a variety of them that you guys would have, and how does a guy know what one to get?
Well, it depends on the time of the season. So early season, usually grunt calls don't always work that good.
Right.
A lot of times grunt calls work better a little, 3 weeks into the season towards, November, Halloween time, where you're getting a lot of tending grunts, so bucks chasing does, following does that are, using the tending grunt.
And that's
so,
a wonderful sound to hear in nature when you hear it.
You gotta love that sound.
You know there's love in the air.
Yeah, you gotta love that sound, and you know that a grunt call is gonna work at that point. So, most of the does and fawns don't communicate that way. You'll hear, fawn balls and things like that. And there are can calls that work good for early season, especially if you want to shoot a doe early in the season. Those work real good.
And who doesn't?
That's how they communicate. Yeah, exactly. Right. You got to have that camp doe, right?
You got to have a little in the freezer.
So, those are the two main types of calls. And, then you also have rattling horns, and which also goes together with the grunt calls a lot in the later part of the season.
Have you ever had luck with rattling?
I have.
I have not.
Yes. I've rattled several bucks in, but it all depends in the area.
It's because it makes him wheeze.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Yeah. It really depends on
You're on a roll, Joppy. You're on a roll.
I think it really depends on the buck doe ratio that you have, and it's getting better in Michigan.
Yeah.
Typically Michigan hasn't been a real good state to rattle in just because the buck to doe ratio is not right, but there are areas that it does work, and I've
so what you're saying then
areas.
Is it's more of a competitive thing than anything else. There, when you get a high competition area for bucks, then they're looking for a challenge,
right.
Whereas right now there's so many doe, they're just like, yeah, go at it, buddy.
If you had a square mile where you had 50 deer in it, which is 50 deer per square mile is pretty good. That's a lot of deer, and 80% of those were does.
Yeah.
You have, $5 in that square mile?
That's terrible.
Right. There's no competition.
What's the perfect ratio? Supposed to be 2 doe at every buck?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just
and about. What do you think we're at?
I don't really know anymore. I don't know what the studies are, but I bet it's 5-1.
We're moving in a better direction.
We are. It definitely used to be pretty high, and that's why we always shot a lot of small bucks in Michigan and, a lot of young bucks. And we didn't have the mature deer in Michigan that we do now.
Yeah.
So it is getting better, so rattling can work. And it definitely works in some areas right now. It just doesn't work very good where I hunt right now.
I think Randy's dying to say something.
No, let's just shift. Let's shift gears. So the scent industry was huge in the early 2000s, and you heard a lot about it and controversy and it works, it doesn't work. Where does that stand now? I mean, are guys coming in looking for different scents to and that's S-C-E-N-T-S, not pennies. But are they looking for that stuff in the store, or do you handle a lot of it, or is it not that popular anymore?
Well, definitely, yeah. You know, we carry some Nature's Best deer scent. It's from a local farm here. And, you know, that's kind of what we found, is that a lot of the fresh local farms that produce deer urine work the best. And, you know, it definitely does work good, but, there's a lot of people that don't use them in the proper way. And you know, scent can be one of those things where it either works, and it can work magic at sometimes, and sometimes it just doesn't do anything.
So, I used Tink 69 when I had that property up by you, and you know what I found out? Number one, it does work, and what else I found out is to put the lid on really good before you put it in your pocket.
Yeah, that's not a very good
I got
good
chased
smell.
All the way back to the trailer.
Right, yeah.
Well, that's,
you and know, threw your clothes out.
Yeah. You know, deer know, you know, how what fresh urine or estrus smells like, right? Mm-hmm. You know, so if you've got estrus that's bottled up and has been bottled up for quite a long time, and it gets that ammonia smell.
Oh,
the deer don't smell that ammonia smell generally in when they're, you know, a buck's tending a doe or on a doe's trail. Well, it doesn't smell like ammonia.
Let's solve the
controversy. You don't want that.
Human urine. What effect do you think that has?
I don't think it has a whole lot of effect deer at all.
All depends what you drank the night before.
Because right. I have whizzed out of my tree stand a million times and never noticed it scaring anything.
Right.
Other than other hunters.
I've heard several stories about that. I mean, in that the same thing. And actually had deer come right up to it where they urinated on the ground.
Right.
And didn't bother him a bit. Right. So
now, there used to be a pasty scent that was called wall hanger.
No, that was in the bar.
Wall hanger.
Not familiar with that one.
That was made locally too, and I haven't seen it in a couple of years, but that stuff was magic.
Yeah.
So we've got Bob mentioned clothing, and I want to cover some of that in the next segment, because it's as the season changes and it goes from the beginning through the end of the season, we hit a big weather change. But with regard to scent, is there clothing still out there that is a scent preventer or a scent, I think Scent Lock was actually a brand at one time, but what does that industry look like now?
Well, there's two different types of scent clothing, you know, so you have your charcoal-based scent clothing, which should eliminate your scent from going in the air. The carbon will soak your scent up. And you also have clothing that keeps from, when you perspire into your clothing, that it doesn't allow it to form a bacteria, so it'll smell.
That's the copper then,
yeah,
right?
So you've got different type of clothing threads. And most of the clothing, the hunting clothing now, is made with some type of thread that resists bacteria buildup.
Okay.
You know, so that helps in you not smelling, you know. And to take a human scent totally away via carbon, you know, that's pretty tough to do, even though you can prevent some of it. But the carbon, you have gaps.
Is that the old scent lock? Is that carbon?
Yeah, that's carbon based.
You got to throw it in the dryer to refresh it.
Right. You know, and it does. You know, everything has its place. You know, you can, if you prevent it a little bit, you know, it can help you.
And if you use a scent, if you use a scent neutral soap to clean yourself.
Right.
That's a big deal.
Yeah. So in there, I'd be interested to learn about how that stuff actually works, because you know your head is exposed and that's where all the heat in your body is escaping, and I got to believe that it's that's where a lot of the scent is. And you know, we all like to be cognizant of the wind, and you want to be looking into the wind, right? Not downwind.
Right.
And things like that. But there's still, I to me, it'd be almost impossible to completely mask my entire scent. I don't, maybe I'm wrong, but I just don't know. But
no, the, for you, it would be impossible.
Right. Yeah. Okay. So in the next segment, we'll pursue that a little bit more. And then we're also going to talk about a variety of type of tree stands and blinds that are available out there and what one might be the best for your situation. So you're listening to Grilling Guys. Stick with us. We'll be back.